I want to live in a world where gender isn't a deciding factor in opportunity. Hey, it's Vanessa Paisani, and you're listening to Amplified, the show where we're changing the stories we tell ourselves about women, and as a consequence, about men too. Because remarkable women aren't a supply problem. There's just so many of them out there, and I believe we need to hear from them. So that's where I come in. We'll also be chatting with some men about the topic as well, because we want to hear their stories on this too, especially why this topic is more important than ever. And to you, thanks for joining us each week for great conversations with remarkable folks, and believing that remarkable women aren't a supply problem.
Hey, and welcome to episode one of Amplified. Thank you so much for joining me. And for our first episode, have a real treat. Today, I interviewed Caroline Mackay. She's the founder of Thriller Fit St. John, and I met her on a bus from New Brunswick all the way to Montreal, and we were all heading to Startup Fest in Montreal, which happened this past June, and is basically like a giant music festival, but for business or for people that want to start businesses or are at various stage of running businesses. I got to talking to Caroline at the festival, and I loved what she was doing because she's not only running a business, she's also a mom of two girls, she's a spouse, and a nurse in the emergency department at the hospital in St. John. And I think you're really going to enjoy the conversation that we had, so I'm looking forward to jumping right in and hopefully hearing from you as well. Caroline, we met on the bus to Startup Fest in Montreal. And I know you have a diverse background. So you, in addition to running Thriller Fit St. John, you're also a nurse and a mom of two beautiful children. So I was wondering if you could maybe start off by telling us a bit about why you were heading to Startup Fest.
Well, I wondered that myself. I think the tagline, the East Coast Caravan, really caught my attention. I thought, this is cool. I like caravans, and I live on the East Coast. But I looked into it, and because it kind of looks like a music fest, doesn't it? It looks like an event where young people totally go, and it's totally energized and hop and hip and poppy, and I thought that looks good. And then it said, looking for local entrepreneurs. And just recently, I had been speaking to another entrepreneur who is a female in St. John, and was saying how I felt like I needed to get connected somehow with either Enterprise St. John or some other local startups that have knowledge that I can draw from. So when I saw this, it was an application process. I thought, well, geez, there's nothing to lose just by applying. And I was quite surprised that I got picked. I didn't really expect that because I'm just operating such a small scale that I didn't feel that I was worthy, basically. But I was super pumped. Really,
I know. It's interesting that you say that about starting at a small scale, because perhaps, you know, maybe that's necessary, or maybe that's what all business goes through. But I know I felt that as well. It's just like, can you tell us a bit more about what you mean by feeling small scale in your business?
Yeah. I still kind of see myself as when I started, which was just me with this idea after I had a baby that I needed to give women the opportunity to exercise with their baby. And I realized that there was no one else in my area that was doing that, because I was kind of thinking, well, how am I going to strategize to work with or alongside my competition? And I just showed up, and I did a little bit of advertising on Kijiji, but I said, just come and pay $5 each time. And I had some days I had 3 people, and some days I had 10 people. And I had a how did these three or four regulars who ended up being my best mom friends, they were the people that we all kind of clicked with, yeah. And we ended up having our second kids around the same age as well. So, yeah, you know, when you're in a little business, when your friend's coming, again, it doesn't really feel like it's an actual business. But since then, every year, I kind of build a tiny bit more on what there was the previous year. And this year, I spread out a little bit further through a little bit of online training and some nutritional coaching and some accountability coaching and a running group as well. So I know that the potential is there, but I just don't know if I have all the tools to take it, because I'm still really on this little edge, and I think I mentioned this to you before, where I'm not sure if I really want to go distance. I don't want this to take over my life, because I enjoy it right now, and I have this belief that if you wake up and you have this feeling that you have to do something, you've got to fill the numbers, you've got to meet a quota, then it's no fun anymore. And if you're not having fun, you cannot give your best self. And I think that my product is good because I have the enthusiasm, because it's genuine. It's not that I have to pump myself up. I really, really like these women, and I like working out with them.
Mm-hmm. So you really started it to fill a gap that you needed for yourself.
Yeah. And it's still a gap. There could be a lot more. There could be a lot more programs. I would like to offer more, but because it's really just me, I do have other instructors that work under me. Well, one for sure. I had two in training that didn't really work out, but I don't want to dilute myself so much that it's no longer me that's there. And to be able to instill this sense of enthusiasm and genuine caringness, in, like, you either got that or you don't, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I want everyone that teaches under me to have that same feeling that I do.
And how did you decide to expand into health accountability coaching? Did it seem like just a natural extension of what you were doing?
Yeah, I think I had been in the back of my mind for a while, because moms that sort of, I use the term graduate from my program, they go back to work and they can't work out with their babies in a stroller with me anymore. I felt like I was kind of losing track of them, and they would say, well, geez, I wish you could do personal training with me, which is something that I wasn't qualified to do. And yet I felt like if I could help you have accountability to yourself and to me, then we could stay connected and I could still help you meet your goals. I also, at that time, I hired a business coach, and every week she was giving me homework, and I couldn't believe the productivity I had just from somebody checking in with me every week. And I thought, geez, everybody needs a coach. Everybody needs someone to check in with. So if I could give that with nutrition or fitness, then I could help other people. And it's not me. There's a meme out there that says, I just need someone to stand beside me and slap good bad food out of my hand. That's not what it is. It's me saying, how do you think you did this week? And how can we be better going forward? That kind of thing. I want you to have that power and control over your life, and also check in with me. Just check in.
Yeah, I've had coaching in the past too, and I agree. It's just that whole giving people their power back and saying, you know, what do you want to do and how can I help you along the way? And I agree, the accountability really does make such a difference.
Yeah.
So what do you think your deepest learning from this past year was?
Well, I think what I was saying before about making sure I'm doing something that I want to be doing, and rephrasing the terms that I get to do this, I don't have to do this.
Mm.
And I use that with my clients, because I get burnt out, and I think a lot of you, I see other trainers getting burnt out, and I see other nurses get burnt out. And I really had to take a step back and ask myself, is this what I want to be doing? What else can I do in my life that gives me a good hourly wage, allows me to be working with awesome people that want to be healthy, and I get to spend a lot of time outside or at the gym, which is also my happy place. But yet I have two jobs that require me to give a lot of myself. Mm-hmm. And I didn't feel that I was regenerating myself inside. I felt like I was kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel some days that I would, and then I would come home. I would have an awesome class. Yes, everyone was so pumped up. We worked really hard. And then I would come home and I would snap at my children. And I thought that something is not right here. So I needed to give more delegation and take a step back from some of the other things that I kept saying yes to.
Yeah, I read something by Warren Buffett where he said the most successful people say no to almost everything, which for me was also a lesson. I feel like what you said, I don't have kids, but I identify with the burnout, and I think a lot of people do. How do you think kind of monitor those boundaries for ourselves, understanding that they're different for everybody, to kind of help ourselves understand when we're maybe getting to that point of nearing burnout so we can make some changes?
Yeah, I think the hardest part of that is identifying when you're getting near that point. Maybe we only see that when we've gone over the edge and we can't really come back from that, because I've had several people very close to me have major breakdowns, and it is, hey, maybe that was helpful to me to see the cascade of events that can happen before a major life event, life crisis, life breakdown, meltdown, whatever you want to call it, happens. I do think something that contributes to the burnout is the constant media feed in our face all the time.
Okay,
we don't have enough time to sit and do nothing. And we just watched the Winnie the Pooh movie, and Winnie the Pooh says, some days I do nothing, and but something comes from nothing. And it's so true. When you sit and let your mind rest, then that's when I feel, oh, I've got all these great ideas that start coming back. And it's not a barrage of thoughts or worry. It is more an excitement for the future, for what's going to come. And that's the feeling that I like to have. Because I think a lot of business owners, they have this racing thoughts of the things you have to do, the things you're supposed to be doing, the things you want to be doing. And it can cripple you. You can all of a sudden just say, I'm staying under the covers today. I can't do any of that. It's just overwhelming. But that, again, is a sign that you've burnt out. You either need help or you need a retreat or something, that you need probably just a little bit more self-care and you'll be refreshed. This summer, I allowed myself to take a lot of time. I think I've had 3 vacations this summer alone that have been away from my children. And I think actually my spouse as well, that's just because of his schedule, not because I needed to get away from him. But it was so refreshing. It was so relaxing. And to do that without the guilt is huge, because previously I've gone away and had this burden of guilt on my shoulders. But then when my spouse did it, I realized, hey, that other person, they have this obligation to have a good time so that they come back to me refreshed and renewed. And that's what I took that very seriously.
Yeah, was that the shift for you, seeing someone else do it without the burden or the...
Yeah, I think so, yeah, because... My spouse, he's actually just finished med school, and I misinterpreted sometimes the times that he was away that I thought, oh my gosh, you're in your glory. This is so great. But actually, it was a really intense schedule. Even though it was great, it was really intense and a lot of pressure and not enough rest in between. And he would come home exhausted. And that was hard.
We definitely all need some rest. I agree. It's important. So one of the things I'm interested in exploring is a bit of the difference in life experience in different people. And I was wondering if you could maybe tell me a bit about, when did you first become aware of gender?
Well, I can remember very early on, probably like around 12 or 13, feeling this sense of femininity, which was kind of unusual for me because I was a really late bloomer. And also, I was a geek, basically.
Me too.
but yet I felt this feeling that I think was body confidence. I'm not really sure. And yet I also thought, well, geez, I should be ashamed of my body because everyone else around me is. And I have no chest and like my nose is too big for my face, that kind of thing. And yet I kept finding myself feeling feminine, I guess. And now that I'm in my, I'm almost 40, I can interpret it that way because I remember putting this jean skirt on and feeling so good. And this jean skirt is probably too short and too small for me. But I wore that jean skirt. I even wore it to church. That's why I loved it that much. And I think that little superpower in me it helped build my character. Even though I was still pretty much a geek through high school, and I went to Fredericton High School where there was 1,000 people in my graduating class alone, so it's pretty much a nobody. I didn't have a lot of friends, and I didn't have really a lot of boyfriends until after high school, when you have that, just everyone is way more free to be without judgment. And maybe that's just the time where we kind of come into our own. And I found that I was definitely putting out a different energy and getting back more energy from males. Besides male, I do feel that I can change the energy of a room by walking into a room as a confident female.
And it sounds like you had that like little inner confidence all along, which is really interesting and really awesome that you owned it.
And I don't know where that came from because that is not my mother at all. The only thing I can think of is that my parents never talked about body image. They were never negative. They were never positive. And when I was maybe a teenager, and I was thinking about my mother's body size, she wasn't in front of me, I couldn't think of it. I couldn't think of my mom fat or thin or short or tall. It just didn't register with me. And I think that was a good thing because I wasn't obsessed with it. I became very conscious of my own body. And I think I was one of those people that I could have gone into a eating disorder, but I was way too aware. I think I was because in grade 8, I did a speech on eating disorders, and that is probably a really healthy thing. But yeah, I became aware of things to put in my body that were going to keep my body healthy. It was sort of like a what not to do to live a healthy life. And I have noticed from being a mother myself and watching my coworkers become mothers and return to work and my clients that I teach fitness to, your brain is never the same after you have a child. And it is termed mommy brain or placenta brain or pregnancy brain. But it's actually because you created this little life. And your mind is always aware of how I can keep that little person alive. It's not too much multitasking. It is, I am actually responsible for another human being. So I cannot think the same things the same way like I used to. And now I'm returning to work. My baby is around 1 year old, and I'm expected to function at the same level that I was when I left, even though I'm extremely fatigued because I'm not getting a good night's sleep. And now I'm worried my kid is at the babysitter's for the first time. Is that person even capable of looking after my child the way that I want them looked after? So I think there's a lot of pressure and a lot of struggle that women go through returning back to work and trying to put on that persona that we know what we're doing. We're in control. We like to be in control. I like to be in control. But yet inside, we're kind of crumbling because it's too much. It's too much at that time in a person's life.
Yeah, that's an interesting comment because I heard a bit about, you know, this whole owning your power of the, you know, instead of it being like, oh, it's just mom brain, it's really like, well, actually, that's a really powerful thing because I'm now also responsible for this other human, but then also this pressure of feeling like you have to balance it all and just be the same as you were before, even though, of course, you're not the same as you were before.
No, of course not. But you're supposed to be, and you're supposed to show up looking awesome in the same work outfit that you left in with a smile on your face and your hair done and your nails done, your makeup done. That is crazy to me. And I thank God every day that I am a low-maintenance person because there's no way that I could pull that off.
Yeah. I was curious if you could comment a bit on, you know, if I think about moving to a time where gender doesn't matter, and maybe it's where the nursing profession is equal men and women and teaching or business, you know, whatever it is, like, how do you think we get there, or do we need to, and how do we, through that, really, how do we acknowledge that women need something different in terms of whether it be maternity leaves or, you know, recognition that when you come back to work, it is different. You have different responsibilities. Like, what are your thoughts on getting to a time when we're able to support people a bit more, perhaps, than we are now to have children?
That is really hard to answer because we're definitely in a time where women are taking on new roles, different roles. A lot of my friends, female friends, are the breadwinners in their families, and their spouses are stay-at-home dads.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. I think that's something that's accepted by my generation for sure. So that stigma still is there, that women want to be able to do it all. We put that on ourselves. And I think that's one of the problems is it's not actually other people that are saying these things. It is the voice within our own heads that we are battling with. We have to return to work, and we have to make the homemade bread and everything else in between. That is our own problem. We do that. We judge ourselves. I don't know why, but that is something that we do. And if we could somehow ask for help, or maybe just say yes to more help. And the 18 month, the maternity leave is a start by allowing women, by saying, yes, you need extra time to be with your baby. You can have that. We might not pay you, but you can have it if you can afford it on your own. Like, who can't afford it? Probably not most people. But if there was a graduated system about returning to work slowly, and if there was more help, like a lot of European countries have midwives that come to the house that do regular visits, even respite visits, overnight visits, those kind of things, sleep training, if we had those resources. Because we're now living in this society where we either have older parents, I know that was the case for my husband and myself, whose parents, they can't babysit for us because they're in their 80s, or we are too far distance wise from where our parents live because we have to move where the jobs are. So we do need help. We need to ask for more help and we need to say yes, more help. And maybe just making other people aware that it is really freaking hard when you're having your first baby and you don't have support around. But the community does need to step in, and it's not until you have been through that that you recognize that it's okay to ask for help and to receive help.
And I mean, maybe kind of to close, it's interesting to think about, it's like, how do I do it all? But I mean, from the outside looking to you, it really does seem like you're very high performing. You're able to balance a successful career. You have two children, you're in a partnership, and you have a business. For you, how do you manage to balance all of those things?
Yeah, that's a good question. I get asked that a lot because a lot of people perceive me as constantly on the go all the time. And that was more so the case last year and the year before, but that also led to me being quite burnt out. So now my kids are a little bit older, which really, really helps. They're at the point where I can do my fun things with them. I can take them kayaking. We can go biking together. That kind of stuff is really restorative for me. And it's also really gratifying to see that we've made it to this point. And I say that to parents all the time who say, oh, I'm so sad. My little one is, they're either turning three or they're going to school. All these milestones that I'm thinking, why would you be sad about that? You have, your kid has survived this long and look how beautiful they are and healthy and you have everything going for you. Don't be sad that the time is going fast. Be happy that you have made it to this point. I feel like we don't do that enough. And I will look at my children and I think this is the best time of my life. I can really tell that I'm going to remember this moment. It's like you're seeing yourself in slow motion when the children are running through a sprinkler, that kind of thing. It's really, for me, I take a lot of stock in the small moments. And I used to be a way bigger, try to make huge memories, go to so much effort, and then find that you don't get enough reward with those kinds of things. Go small and take the magic in the little moments that are simple and beautiful. And that, I think, is the secret to a happy life. As far as balance goes, I'm a little bit selfish and I put my health before, and my husband knows that before a lot of things, that I need to exercise, I need to move my body in some way almost every day. And if I don't get that, then I get really grumpy. And he is so awesome at granting me that, the freedom to do that. And I think maybe if he did more of that, then he would have a little bit more zen in his life too. But unfortunately, his schedule doesn't allow that as much as I do. But that is one thing I like about my life, is that it's not Monday to Friday. I'm never going to be a Monday to Friday person. I like that it's Tuesdays and Thursday mornings and Tuesday evenings and Friday, Saturday, Sunday at the hospital, and then Monday every other week at the hospital, that kind of thing. I like that I do that. But really that is why I chose to work in the emergency department, because it's not the same thing every day. And that's just my personality. It's a little bit the need for new things and interesting things and stimulating things and funny things, and the appreciation that you never know what you're going to get when you show up at the hospital. And then I get to go and work with healthy people that want to be even more healthier at the gym or at the park or wherever my fitness clients are. So I take a lot of satisfaction in the two sides of the coin there.
Yeah, it really sounds like you've been able to create the life that you wanted, which is, I think, like, hats off to you for that.
Well, thank you. That's you know what? You see, it takes a person looking outside of your own life and look and telling you these things, really, like, that just made my day, because I forget that all the time. I've been so grumpy the last couple of days because I got this terrible foot injury, which is really not
that no.
But to me, I haven't been able to go swimming and the things that I love doing and biking and running. And yet my husband's like, you know, you did see these things, so, and that was pretty awesome. And yes, it takes on the inside of yourself to point those things out to you. So thank you for saying that. And you're right. I do have an awesome life.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for this interview.
Thank you so much for choosing me.
I feel
very honored to be able to even do this. This is definitely a real treat for me, so I really appreciate that, Vanessa.
Yeah, likewise.